This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark, Wong Xiaoning and Roshan Kanisen, broadcasting to us from his home studio in Petaling Jaya, because this is, of course, the new normal. And it's a Friday, the 22nd of May, the Friday before a long weekend. What are you guys planning to do?
I'm going to go running as usual. I'm going to enjoy the 4 days I'm allowed to go for my little run at 6:30 in the morning.
Why did I think that, you know, 4 days of holiday meant you would stay home and vegetate like the rest of us? Of course, Xiaoning would go running.
Yeah, I mean, didn't the MCO teach us anything? And that is to enjoy the outdoors. I really struggled when we weren't allowed to go for walks or runs. And I think I was one of those that ran like on the first day I could. And I was like, this is so good. This is so unbelievably enjoyable. And never to be taken for granted again. Never.
Xiaoning, is that what the MCO taught you? It taught me to always be prepared. No. And it taught me the importance of being able to live in your bubble of the home. And basically just making sure that you have everything to make your life comfortable at home. So you learn to enjoy the outdoors. I learned to live indoors.
I think I'm the same. I learned to be a cave animal, basically, that I would never have to leave my room for anything.
No, I mean, it's also to remind us never to take for granted what's out there, right? The freedom we enjoyed eating out. I miss it. I miss it incredibly, seeing friends, family. And it must be particularly difficult, especially for the Muslims celebrating Hari Raya this weekend, because that is so much part of the whole, celebration.
Absolutely. But I guess we have to make the best of it. And in fact, even some of our producers this morning have come in all excited for Raya already in the baju kurung.
Yeah, it's cute. I love it. You know, I think you guys should wear it more, honestly. And I hope, even though it's probably going to be a much tamer, quieter Raya than in previous years, that sense of celebration, of family, still exists in its own way.
But before you head into your Raya celebrations this weekend, we do have some things to tide you over this last Friday. So in the next hour or so, what are we going to be talking about?
So I've got a story about Americans using their stimulus checks. The U.S. citizens have seen two sets of stimulus checks at this point, about $1,200, and they've been spending it at Walmart and Target, and buying non-essentials at this point. So I want to talk about, what have you been spending during the MCO? Because I know I've bought a few things, but I don't know whether it counts if it's a gift. What about you, Xiaoning? What will you be tackling today?
I'm going to be talking about China and China.
Amazing. China and China?
Yeah, China and China.
Both Chinas?
Yeah, well, one thing's... Well, it's... How do I put it? One is almost on its way to being China, but it doesn't really want to be. Now, that's all very cryptic, so I'll talk about that later.
Okay.
I wonder what you could be talking about. Mm.
I have the story in front of me, and now even I'm confused and interested to check out what's going to be happening later. So that's we're going to be talking about China and China after the 6:30 news. But right now we have a story about, you know, what COVID-19 will mean for national sports teams coming up in just a bit. But first, here is Remedy by The Black Crowes, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. Remedy by The Black Crowes. Yes, we do have some slight technical difficulties happening. This is, I guess, what happens when you are in a new normal and you are having to broadcast from home a little bit.
Don't tell people that. That's our new BFM sound effects.
We've got a special, reverb function.
Yeah,
happening.
It's like part of the new thing, right?
Absolutely. So now, though, taking a look at another new thing. You know, we were just talking a little bit about Xiaoning's determination to go running during this movement control order period.
And which I didn't. Don't get wrong. I obeyed all the rules.
Okay. You only went running after the CMCO got put into place.
Yes, exactly. Otherwise, I was a good girl. I stayed at home, even though I was like, oh, I missed this
climbing
so badly.
The walls.
Climbing the walls a little bit.
Yeah. So now we're taking a look at what kind of a situation other athletes are going to be in as they head out of some lockdowns, you know, in other countries, because there's a story taking a look at Team GB, right? So Team Great Britain, the Olympic athletes, and how they've been coping with these movement controllers, because, you know, they are when you hit the level of a highly trained elite athlete, a lot of the times they are very used to prescriptive daily training routines, and usually that involves going to a gym or a training center. So when they can't do that, you know, how have they been coping?
Yeah, I mean, these guys eat, sleep, live for the sports, right? That's all they do. I mean, some of them do have day jobs, but for a lot of them, their day job is actually doing that exactly. So, you know, it must be, and I think maybe some sports, there is the possibility of doing it at home, but definitely not at the same level as if you were part of a training group, right? So I was thinking in my mind, what type of sports could it be that it would be really challenging? Swimming is probably one of them. How do you, you know, if you don't
have a pool.
If you don't have a pool, how do you actually continue your swimming exercise? It's like virtually impossible. I mean, what, get into your bathtub and do a few strokes? That would be, I don't think that would kind of work, right?
I don't think the bathtub qualifies as a place to swim, Xiaoling. Yeah. But you know, you've got those pools with jet streams, right? So that may help. Yeah, but I just can't imagine what it's like for a lot of these athletes who have been training for this, for the Olympics that were coming up, right? And now they've got to wait another 12 months. Can you imagine if you were studying for finals or your final exams, and you were maybe in the last 3 months of it, and you've been studying for ages, and then it gets postponed by a year? I would feel heartbroken. I would understand the, because the pandemic and all of that, but it would really like impact your morale on top of the fact that now you're also stuck at home. You don't have your elite training equipment. Your physical conditioning is maybe deteriorating. I think that's a big problem with a lot of the with the EPL project restart. A lot of the footballers are asking for a good amount of time to get back into physical condition, because maintaining that level is not an easy feat.
And there's also the monetary aspect of it, right? Because a lot of these Olympic athletes, okay, they're not going to only compete in the Olympics once every 4 years. They also take part in other competitions locally and abroad. And even here, you know, at the start of the movement control orders, we had some of our Malaysian athletes and athletics associations coming out and say, what are we going to do? You know, without the, a lot of these athletes do need this prize money, or they do need the sponsorship money that comes from the visibility at these events. And ad spend, you know, for media has really come down. I can imagine that the same would be the case for sponsorship for media teams, for sports teams, because these sports teams are not going to be playing. You know, this badminton player is not going to have a tournament to compete in. So why pay him for to have your logo on his on a jersey that he's not going to wear?
Yeah. So yes, this has clearly impacted them. There's both in their ability to actually, you know, go for these sporting events, and you're right in terms of how much money they can make. And since they're full time, this is all they do, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the story is also somewhat positive in that yes, these athletes had some challenges, but they rose to the occasion. They found other things to do, right, to keep themselves fit. And it's, I mean, I'm far far away from a professional athlete.
You're closer than me, Xiaoling.
Yeah, but still very far, a million miles away. And it's
That's a very relative gauge.
Yeah.
You're closer than me.
But it's a point to remember that if you can't do one thing that you're really good at, like swimming, maybe you could do something else. And that will also still improve a certain part of your physical, whether it's endurance or flexibility. Those are the things maybe you're not good at and you can kind of train on. And there are stories in this Telegraph article which says, like, the swimmer, he suddenly got better at endurance and flexibility, things that he never practiced, he never looked at, he never bothered. So
yeah, because for swimmers, they don't really need that endurance, right? They need to swim for that 2 minutes of up and down. Is it a minute or 2 minutes?
Well, I guess it depends on whether you're doing, what kind of race you're doing, you know?
Oh, yeah, of course. If you're doing like the long, what's it called? The marathon? No, that's on land. What is a marathon in water?
You have like the swimming across the English Channel, things like that.
Yeah,
there are people who
That's yeah. I don't have the words to describe these kind of sports things. I live indoors now.
Yeah, I think the ultimate thing is that what this pandemic has taught those of us who've had to stay at home is that we can survive on less than we initially supposed. We have, we can perhaps find other ways to occupy our time. Yes, we can adapt. But the question is, it's also a question as when it comes to at least exercise. You know, it is important to at least somehow keep moving in some way, shape or form.
Definitely. There's lots of stuff on YouTube, guys. Lots. Enjoy it. And of course, you can always have TRX or suspension, which is my little thing.
All right. Well, do let us know what you think. You can tell us what do you think COVID-19 will meet and will mean for sports and athletics as we start to exit our own movement control orders. You can WhatsApp us 01878988899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We've got some messages coming up for you. And then next up, we're taking a look at how you've been spending your money during these lockdown periods. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. That was Falling and Laughing by Orange Juice. And you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Xiaoning and Roshan. Now, across the world, stay-at-home orders have been issued, or in some case places like ours, we're slowly starting to move out of a movement control order. And there has been some data coming out to, you know, look at what people have actually been buying during that time. So there's an article on MarketWatch that spotlights Walmart in the US, where Walmart found that actually, you know, while Americans did use their stimulus checks to cover some of their basic needs, you know, like groceries, mortgage, rent, they also went shopping and bought certain non-essentials, clothes, toys, electronics. Okay, I would argue that children's toys particularly are somewhat essential if you've got small children stuck in the house and not able to go to school for a long period of time. But yeah, I mean, the question comes up then of what have you guys been buying during this MCO while we were all stuck at home with only our laptops for company?
Okay, I bought an air fryer. And I bought an air fryer and I bought a pair of dumbbells.
Okay, so exercise and cooking, which is your main hobby, right?
Yeah, those are my two things that I enjoy doing. So yeah, that's about it actually. Other than essentials, like really like groceries. I spend a lot of money on groceries because I had to shop for myself, for my parents, for my sisters, because, you know, it was easier that I was the one that was going out. But other than that, I didn't buy anything else. I mean, I didn't even look at clothing. It just didn't seem like appealing. Oh,
didn't
I bought a barbecue
also,
set. Sorry, you're right, guys. I did buy a barbecue set. So yeah, clearly these are the things important to me. Anything related to cooking or exercise, yeah, I'll be the first one to press click buy.
Roger Gunnison, what about you? What have you been buying during this MCO?
For the first few weeks, I actually bought nothing. It's only last week that I went to a mall and I bought shoes. But caveat that those were actually technically birthday presents. So I actually didn't spend any money. I have not spent any money, actually. I spent the first few weeks here's the ring and sense bit. I was sorting out my cash reserves to make sure I had enough. At that point, we didn't know what was going to happen. I was preparing for the worst case scenario. Basically, if we saw people losing their jobs around this, and I wanted to prepare for that. Once that was sorted out, I think, and once things calmed down a little bit, you had a bit more sense of security. And then I started window shopping on YouTube a lot. I didn't know buying because I couldn't justify the purchase. But I was looking at things like webcams and really high-tech computer mice. Yes, I was looking at mice because I really need a new mouse. My one really isn't great. But I just never made the purchase. It just didn't happen. But a lot of window online shopping.
Yeah, you know, I guess because a lot of people are now doing more Zoom webinars and video conferences. My father has also been doing a lot of these, and I'm totally going to call him out on air because he bought, I think, more things than me during this MCO, and most of them were gadgets for for video conferencing. He bought this ring light that you usually only see YouTubers have.
He bought a ring light.
He bought a ring light
so that he looks better on air.
So that he looks better on Zoom.
Okay.
He's got three different standing lights for in different parts of his desk.
We know who to borrow from when we do a webinar, Roshan.
Oh yeah, no, I just want
less wires on my desk. So I've got a setup. I've got my laptop propped up. That's why the angle is such. But I've got a wired keyboard and a wired mouse. It's something I dug up in the household. And I mean, they're okay, but there are just so many mice on my keyboard. I'll tweet it out later. It's an ugly scene. I hate it so much. I really want some wirelessness connectivity. But this is my problem when I shop, right? It takes me a long time to get the decision to buy.
Are you one of those that have 25 items in your cart, but you never click buy?
No, I have 1,700 items in my wish list, none in my cart. And I will look, I have watched maybe 7 YouTube videos on different keyboards, on one particular keyboard, by the way. And then you times the fact that I've looked at maybe 10 different keyboards and five different mice, that's a lot of time. I've looked at a $100 mouse that I really, really want. $100, by the way. But I just can't justify buying it because it's $100.
Okay, you know what this is called, right? This is called analysis paralysis.
Yes, this is where, the bane of my existence.
Yeah, this is where you overanalyze anything. Unlike Shaoning, they would just buy the 20 ringgit mouse.
Yeah, no.
And I have the 20 ringgit mouse.
And then they'll be like, okay,
like,
it works, you know. I'm the woman that bought the 15 ringgit barbecue set, just in case you all are thinking that I went out and bought something insanely expensive. No, it's the same barbecue set those satay sellers I bought that. It works perfectly fine. Why not?
Admittedly, though, this is a little bit of a first world conversation that we're having here.
Because, oh, for sure.
Yeah, because, you know, we have the luxury of that disposable cash. A lot of people don't have that. But it's kind of interesting to see how consumer behaviors are starting to shift from that initial period of, you know, of fear of not having enough cash to last out the month, to slowly the slow realization that okay, yes, we can survive on this because of this reduced movement, because of we're not going out and spending as much. So that transition has been quite interesting. And do let us know what you have been buying during this period. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We have the 6:30 news bulletin coming up for you now, but first, Around and Around by the Rolling Stones, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Local Boy in the Photograph by Stereophonics, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Shaoning and Roshan. Now, this morning, we're taking a look at some international headlines, specifically if we take a look at one of our biggest northern neighbours, China has a very big event on their political calendar coming up. The annual session of the National People's Congress is set to happen today. Now, about 3,000 delegates will be meeting for this annual gathering to discuss political and economic policy. In fact, Premier of the State Council, Li Keqiang, is set to announce some key annual economic targets in a State of the Nation style address.
3,000 people in the room. Doesn't this go against the whole idea of physical distancing? I don't know how they're going to practice it. This will be interesting, right?
We pulled off a parliament sitting, and South Korea has pulled off an election. I'm sure they'll have thought of something.
Lin Mark, our parliament sitting was a few hours. And then it all ended, right? But I don't know. Maybe, and if I'm not wrong, this is not a two-hour affair. It's a few-day affair, right? A few days affair. But it's significant because all eyes will be on the government's 2020 GDP growth target, if there is one at all. Because we do know that for China, their GDP contracted in the first quarter for the first time in decades due to the virus. So I think they're going to unveil a series of economic policies, including a fiscal package that could surpass that used during the global financial crisis a year ago. They're also going
A decade ago.
And then a defense budget is also expected. Now, what is unusual is that China, for an economy its size, actually has been very, very conservative, unlike every other government out there, in terms of unveiling very robust, large number, you know, like huge headline packages. China's actually really just done small little things here and there, but maybe they were waiting for this event to kind of roll out their ta-da! Kind of like, you know, trillion-dollar...
Like a magic trick, right,
Yeah, trillion-dollar package.
Fireworks and confetti and all.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, they used mostly monetary policy and stuff, but also because they also have, let's just call it, a significant control over corporations, right? So there is an influence there that they can utilize, like ensuring that people aren't fired and things like that. It's a very powerful tool when you can do that, or asking the banks to do certain things, forgive loans. All things that are not really in the repertoire of other governments that aren't China. But, you know, like 3,000 people meeting, Shaoning, it's China. They can do anything they want, really, and still get away with it. I mean, they did come in with the policies. They did deal with it first. I'm sure they're going to be very strict with them. I'm sure they've got these advanced super cameras that can see your temperature to the 0.1 degrees Celsius that will be able to help with all the protocols there.
I mean, your camera facial recognition technology is quite, I want to say quite frightening, but also quite interesting.
It's very frightening, for sure.
There was that story where I think a man was reunited with his family after being abducted from a hotel 30 years ago. And wasn't he identified? Due to facial recognition technology?
Isn't that scary? Well, there are some pluses out there, guys. You know, you might think, oh, I don't want my privacy intruded on, but voila.
But you never know. Maybe you have a long lost set of parents out there somewhere.
Well, I hope so. Maybe he's super rich. That would be my dream.
Well, you can't miss what you didn't know you had. So yeah, that's true. I guess that's not true. Really a big deal. I would rather have my privacy. But, you know, have you guys heard about the social credit scoring that China's doing?
No. What is that?
It's a credit score for your social behavior.
Oh.
Doesn't that sound scary? People can rate you. The government can rate you. You have a score, 1 out of 5 stars. I mean, it's a scoring system. But when I read that, I had Black Mirror nightmares for quite some time.
Well, then that's not the only thing they're going to be doing, because I think China is expected to pass security laws that could curb secession, sedition, foreign interference and terrorism in Hong Kong. And this is something that opposition lawmakers, of course, are not happy about, because it says that they say that if this is really implemented, it's going to, you know, put Hong Kong's reputation and status as an international financial center into jeopardy. I think this is on the back of China announcing dramatic plans to rein in this island state of theirs.
Yeah, I think this is going to be interesting to watch, because, I mean, Hong Kong is just coming off of the back of a year in which we saw, I think it was almost 2 years actually, where we saw so many protests over Beijing's interference in Hong Kong's affairs. You know, protests against the fact that Hong Kong's Legislative Council is largely appointed by Beijing. And there was even at one point, if we remember, debate over whether China would send in the military in order to quell the unrest in Hong Kong. This looks like it's just going to set a spark to this tinder that has already been smoldering in a corner, forgotten, while the COVID-19 pandemic swept the island state. And it's also, as you said, Shannon, going to have an impact on business confidence, because Hong Kong is one of the largest entrepots in the world, and so many businesses have their regional hubs there. You wonder how they're going to operate if Hong Kong is placed under these new security laws, or whether China will close one eye to multinationals and just focus this on the Hong Kong people.
Well, markets are already feeling it, because the 3- and 12-month forward on a Hong Kong dollar rose in New York, I mean, indicating weakness ahead for the currency. And even the exchange-traded fund that invests in Hong Kong fell the most in 2 months. So markets are not super happy about it at the moment.
I mean, but what a time to do this bill, right? Because right now, all the media coverage and news is around COVID-19, the impacts on respective economies. Each country is focused on their own problems. Hong Kong's not going to be able to look to the international community for any much support at this point.
Yeah,
while everyone is looking out for their own. So, I mean, they're doing this under the cloud of all this COVID-19 coverage, which is tactically great, but for democracy, really just not great. But I mean, did we expect anything different really coming out of China?
I think I can appreciate the tactical genius of it. What this is going to do to Hong Kong and how the people there are going to feel stands to be seen at this point in time. But right now, we do have some messages for you. And then up next, we're going to be taking a look at the front pages of our newspapers. So stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Name For You by The Shins. And you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin, Xiaoning and Roshan. 6:51 a.m, Friday the 22nd of May. And now we have some newspapers for you. So I have the New Straits Times in front of me. The headline here is Total ban in big yellow letters against a picture of a traffic jam, because it says that interstate travel is no longer allowed for all with immediate effect. So this comes after thousands were caught trying to sneak across borders to Balik Kampung in the past few days. And honestly, I do wonder why you think it'll be a good idea to just get in your car and drive. Do you think you'll be able to just weasel past the roadblocks?
I think maybe they thought there wouldn't be any roadblocks.
Or talk your way past the roadblocks?
Yeah, because for the longest time, I mean, we did have roadblocks, and then after the MCO became the CMCO, or is it EMCO, the roadblocks were removed, right? Because the police were diverted to actually kind of doing enforcement. So maybe people thought, you know, as usual, I try my luck, and hopefully they failed. So clearly, I think, you know, this is not a good idea. And the police chief of Selangor has come out to say that they're going to block every exit out of Selangor to prevent this from happening. And I think the other interesting news, which came out actually yesterday, was our defence ministry minister actually saying to in his daily 2 p.m. press conference that the police are going to go around the kampung and check the car registration plates of the cars in the vicinity to see where they're from and maybe knock on the doors. Because if your car plate is registered, let's say, in Wilayah and you're in Kelantan, please explain that. You know, unless there's a legitimate reason, you know, why. Otherwise, it would have suggested that you would have traveled interstate, which at this current juncture, unless you've got approval, is not allowed.
Yeah, it's quite I admit that it's quite a tough situation, right? Because if you are celebrating Hari Raya and this is the only time that you get to go back and see your families, you know, the desire to see them, I am sure,
is real
and is very great. But at the same time, you know, these regulations have been put in place for the greater good. It's not just your safety at play. It's the safety of your families and your neighbours in the kampongs who may not have been exposed to COVID-19 until perhaps you accidentally bring a strain in.
Yeah, but Malaysians aren't the only ones, because in the Singapore Straits Times, the headline is Indonesians pack shops, malls ahead of Hari Raya, shrugging off coronavirus fears. So, you know, looks like Malaysians, some other people also aren't following the rules.
Yeah, I've got the Star e-paper in front of me on this beautiful screen of mine. And the headline is "The Faithful to Remain Careful." This is a story about how non-Muslim places of worship will be starting to open up from June 10th onwards, obviously with strict guidelines. And I think at this point, a capacity of 30 people at a time. But I think a lot of the organizations that run these places, like the churches, all are still going to be a bit cautious about it. I think the Star cites some of them saying that they will see how, once June 9th comes around, what the level of cases is, and that it will be they should only be open 1-2 days a week for important days. So I guess for churches, that would be Sunday. But I'm not sure how that would work out for the Buddhists and the Hindus who don't really have specific important days in the week for prayer. And Dr. Sri Ismail Sabri was very pointed out that permission can be rescinded. People from the Unity Department will be around to monitor the situation and make sure that everyone is following the SOPs. Another interesting story in the Star is around the Section 17A of the MACC Act 2009, that PMO has announced that it will go through and it will continue and it will start on June 1st, be effective, basically making companies and management liable for corruption within the organization, which is going to be interesting. FMM welcomes it, but that's the Federation of Malaysian Manufacturers, but Malaysian Employers Federation has asked for, would have preferred it to come in a bit later, considering the impacts of COVID-19 on the business scene as it is.
Yeah, so there's still lots of things happening in the papers, despite the fact that we are heading into a long weekend. So one hopes that despite all of the uncertainties that are surrounding this current economic time, and despite the fact that that Raya celebrations will be curtailed for a lot of people, that you will still find some way to celebrate at home with your family in small gatherings. So be sure to stay tuned for more, though, after more, well, the serious side of serious business. In just a few minutes after the 7 o'clock news bulletin. But first, here is next Ideal Fitri by Bittersweet, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.